This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch the show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. On Wednesday, May 17th, whistleblower and political prisoner Chelsea Manning finally breathed freely after her 35-year sentence had been commuted by President Barack Obama days before he left office. Manning has been actively posting images of what freedom looks like on social media, including her first steps, her first slice of pizza, glass of champagne, and even her new look. Manning, who came out as transgender while in prison, became a pet cause for progressive activists for her courageous action of leaking hundreds of thousands of classified war logs from Iraq and Afghanistan to WikiLeaks. Now, even though she is free, she will be appealing her Espionage Act conviction, and joining me to explain why is Nathan Fuller. He is a campaigner with the Courage Foundation, formerly with the Manning Support Network. Welcome to the program, Nathan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into why Chelsea Manning will be appealing her original conviction, how do you feel after all these years? You've worked on her campaign for a long time. She is free as of May 17th.
I'm so happy, and I can't really believe it. I've spent a lot of time, several years of my life now, working for this day, and it's finally come. And I'm just so grateful that she's free, and really excited to see what she does with her new life.
What drove you to take on this cause?
So I was in college in 2010, and following the WikiLeaks releases throughout that year, and I was just really kind of startled into action, and I wrote about it for my school news magazine and felt like I really had to find out more about who did this and find some way to thank them. And so I joined the Manning Support Network in 2011, and eventually became the courtroom reporter in Fort Meade at her court martial, and covered every bit of that hearing. And as I've said, I feel like we owed something to Chelsea Manning, who made this amazing sacrifice, knowing the risks to her life and her safety, her liberty, to put this information out there, that we kind of owe her a debt in return. And so this is my way of paying it back, is working toward her freedom and toward making sure people know about what she's done and why it's important.
So she was convicted under the Espionage Act. How unprecedented was that conviction?
Well, so what was really unprecedented was the way that the Obama administration used the Espionage Act more times than all previous presidents combined, and using it in a way that really overbroadly interprets it to essentially equate whistleblowing with spying. One of the main problems with the Espionage Act, besides the fact that it's now a 100-year-old law that was made for spies in World War I, is that it does not include a public interest defense. So the defense is literally barred from, not allowed at trial to argue that they acted in the public interest. The reasoning behind the act doesn't matter. All they care about in court is, did it have the potential, not even the actual harm, did it have the potential harm to national security? And if so, that's an automatic, it's a 10-year sentence for every Espionage Act conviction. And she got multiple Espionage Act convictions, along with Computer Fraud and Abuse Act convictions. And so another unprecedented part was her sentence. She got the longest sentence and served the longest time, even though her sentence was commuted, of any leaker in history. So this was a case that really showed the dangers of this overbroad Espionage Act and the way it can be really easily abused by prosecutors. And so that's part of why it's so important to appeal it.
So even though Barack Obama was the reason why she was sent to prison, he also became the reason why she was freed much sooner than expected. What exactly did he do? Let's talk about because this is important, the technical basis by which she is free today.
So it's important to note he commuted her sentence and did not pardon her. So he commuted her sentence to time served from the 35 years to the 7 that she had already served, allowing her to be free on May 17th. A pardon would have gone to the actual conviction and overturned that. And that would have been, that's what he should have done, in my view. And that would have been, that's what's needed, because that was, it was a problem for Chelsea personally, but it was a problem for the country at large that the Espionage Act was used in this way. And so a pardon is what was really needed to show the problems with the Espionage Act.
So essentially a pardon would have overturned the conviction, a commutation simply cut the sentence to time served.
Right.
So why does Chelsea Manning, after, you know, and having endured all these years in prison, after having endured torture, why is she working on appealing her conviction now? Because for her practical purposes, it's not going to matter very deeply, right?
Actually, no, it is going to matter for her personally as well. Mm. Another part of the conviction means that she's actually technically still in the military while her appeal goes on.
Ah.
And if her appeal is unsuccessful, she will be dishonorably discharged, which would act as like a felony on her record, or she wouldn't be entitled to the benefits she receives. And so overturning the conviction would also prevent that dishonorable discharge. It matters to her personally and more broadly. So it's important for her and for the rest of us that it's supported well.
And so what does it matter for others and for whistleblowers in particular that Chelsea Manning's conviction is appealed? You mentioned that Barack Obama had more aggressively than his predecessors prosecuted people, both journalists and non-journalists, journalists and whistleblowers, I should say, for leaking classified information. You know, we know the names of people like Jeffrey Sterling and, of course, Edward Snowden, who remains in exile. Would an appeal, a successful appeal of Manning's conviction, impact these other cases?
It would. In fact, if Edward Snowden has long said that he is willing to come back home if he was allowed to properly defend himself in court. And what he means by that is if a public interest defense, so he's been also charged, indicted under the Espionage Act. And so if he were able to come home and defend in court with a public interest defense, he'd be willing to do that. So this challenge to the, this appeal also would potentially enable Edward Snowden to come home. So it affects those whistleblowers past, but it certainly affects whistleblowers to come. And I expect, I don't see any reason not to expect the Trump administration to be even worse. As bad as the Obama administration was, we've only heard aggressive rhetoric from the Trump administration, people like Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, who wanted to criminalize WikiLeaks and publish and Julian Assange for publishing information. So I expect more leak prosecutions to come and the Espionage Act to be used in those cases. And so it would be really important for us, it would be really meaningful for us to get this, get the record changed before those prosecutions come to court.
And of course, we should make very clear that Donald Trump is very much in line with Barack Obama in wanting such prosecutions. In the memo that that the FBI director, James Comey, newly fired by Trump, the memo that Comey revealed to the public, one of the things that was in that memo was Trump's desire to see journalists who leak classified information or publish classified information be prosecuted, be imprisoned, right?
He wants to see them imprisoned. He's called media organizations the enemy of the people. He's allowed Jeff Sessions to go on saying that targeting Julian Assange as a publisher is a priority, and that if he wants to imprison Assange, that, you know, Trump is okay with it. So he's willing to take steps further than even the Obama administration was willing to go, and in continuing this war on the press. And I only expect it to get worse from here. And he's made it very clear that he has no problem prosecuting journalists for doing journalism.
So, and of course, he is continuing a precedent set by his predecessor, supposed liberal Democrat. And that's really important, I think, for us to explain that and to assert that. Now, the appeal, exactly what form does this legal appeal take place? Because all of this, you know, the conviction and all of this, didn't this happen within the framework of the military justice system?
Right. So she was court-martialed and it concluded in 2013. And Her appeal basically started right after that. Her appeal lawyer is different than her court martial lawyer. This one is Nancy Hollander, who's been working on it for several years. And she filed a 200-page application to appeal to the Army Court of Criminal Appeals in May of 2016. And the government is due to respond to that motion, to that motion to appeal. And then the defense will get to, and we expect the government to respond sometime this summer or later this year. And then the defense gets to respond. And then the court decides whether to rule just based on those paper filings or to have oral arguments in court. And that's just at the Army Court of Criminal Appeals. Then there's also the Court of Appeals of the Armed Forces and higher courts. And lawyers have indicated that they're willing to take this as high as it needs to go to the Supreme Court if necessary. To challenge this all the way up. So we're looking at a long process that's already been going on, but this is there's a lot more work to be done, and that's why Courage has launched a fundraiser. We're partnering with two other organizations, Wout Holland Foundation in Germany and Reporters Without Borders, and we're putting money together to make this appeal as strong as it can be. We really want these lawyers fully funded, able to travel and do a lot of work as is necessary to because this is a really important appeal.
So, of course, all of these legal actions do require money. How much money are you attempting to raise through the Courage Foundation? Where can people go if they would like to contribute to that?
So our website is couragefound.org, and it's the post is right there. Chelsea Manning Legal Appeal Fund. And we want, and as much as, you know, this is going to be ongoing for a long time, we want to see this through all the way. So we've started out with 20,000 euros collected among these organizations, and we'd like to double that as soon as we can and keep it going from there.
So Chelsea Manning will at least be able to fight her conviction without being confined personally. And so again, that website, couragefound.org, where people can contribute to the legal challenge, the appeal of her conviction, which won't just impact her personally, but also will have this broader impact on whistleblowers in general. Nathan, any idea what her plans are, just in terms of how she moves forward? Obviously, she's going to need some time to recover from the horror of what she's gone through, and this appeal itself will also take some time. But has Chelsea indicated what her plans are for her newly found freedom?
She hasn't said specifically, but she's been very involved with the appeal, and she was very involved in the legal process at the trial. So I expect once now that she's physically free to be continuing to participate in that. But she's had this Guardian column and a Medium blog. And we've seen her become a voice and a hero to people, not only for her whistleblowing, but for her speaking out and her bravery on trans rights issues. And so I only expect that voice to grow, and I'm really excited to see how big it gets and what she does with it.
Right, and it's really interesting to see the social media posts that she's putting on there. People can follow her on Twitter, and we should remember that, she did attempt to take her own life while in prison. It was a horribly traumatizing experience for her. She was denied the right to gender reassignment surgery for a long time by the military, and one can only imagine the trauma that she went through in service of the public, right? Basically, for doing a
Right.
huge act, a huge service to expose what our wars look like on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well,
If I just add something to that, she actually tried twice last year because of the way that the military responded. When she tried the first time, they responded by putting her in what is known to be psychologically abusive solitary confinement, leading to her second attempt. So the way that she was treated, even in response to this horrible abuse that she's obviously enduring just really made everything worse. And so I'm in incredibly admired and inspired, admire and inspired by her because it must be incredibly brave to go through that.
Well, Nathan, I want to thank you very much for your activism and for spending this time with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Happy to.
My guest is Nathan Fuller, campaigner with the Courage Foundation. Again, couragefound.org is a website where they're raising money for to fund Manning's appeal. Nathan is also formerly with the Manning Support Network. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.